Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, let's talk some Phils and some Eagles with Elliot Shure Parks. He was in those scrubs this week. AJ talks, other players talk. Elliot was there. He'll be all over the Phillies in the postseason as well. And he joins us right now. Elliot, good morning, pal.
Man, it's rare I feel alone on Eagles Island, but excited to see everybody all pumped up for the Phillies.
For sure. Ellie, let's start with one Phils thing, and then we'll get to the Eagles. Yeah. Bats or bullpen? Which do you trust more?
The bullpen. Like, I've lived through the last few postseasons. I've lived that feeling of watching the bats go ice cold and swing at everything they should have. Like, I understand the optimism. The bats were better this season. Schwarber was awesome. The bottom of the lineup was better. I'll believe it when I see it. So, like, until I break that feeling of hating watching this team try to bat in the playoffs, I'm going to trust the bullpen.
Do you guys remember the bullpen last season against the Mets?
Yes.
Like, they were awful.
Good. I agree. But
I thought that was more of an aberration, though, Devin. I really did. I thought that one was stepping out of the norm. I thought last year with the bats felt more normal.
Right. Last like regular season, I trusted the Phillies bullpen.
1,000%.
But the fact it's even a question when all the money is in the lineup, like that's the disappointing
part. Yeah. All right, Ellie, let's talk some Eagles. I said earlier, and I believe it, best thing for this team is go play a football game, put the last 5 days behind them. I mean, obviously, if they win, which they probably will, but the Broncos are not a team to be taken for granted. Is it fair to say they've got a great defense and present a heck of a challenge to the Eagles' offense?
Yeah, I think this is a really, really tough matchup. Like, I thought they would lose to the Chiefs because of the spot, but in terms of just looking at an opponent and then predicting the game, this is probably the most worried I've been about an Eagles game this year so far. I think the Broncos, they're not as good as some of the other teams, but they poke so specifically at the Eagles' problems. Their defensive line is legit. They have two elite edges. They have an elite defensive tackle in Zach Allen that gets after the quarterback. And my concern is the offensive line might be the weakest part of the offense right now. And now they're going up against a defensive line that's really, really good. And then on the flip side, the biggest issue with the team right now is the passing game and getting it to A.J. Brown, and you're going against Patrick Surtain. So I have real concerns about this game.
So Alex Singleton is their Mike linebacker. It makes me feel kind of like I can't even take it that seriously, this defense, because you got our old, you know, cast-off linebacker, man in their Mike spot,
playing,
really important position.
Alex Singleton still there? Is that who we're talking
about?
Yeah.
Wow.
Alex Singleton. And he's playing well from, you know, doing what they need him to do. How good is this defense realistically? Let's be honest. I mean, I know they got an unbelievable lockdown cornerback, but feels like maybe it's a little bit overblown, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the Broncos fans and media would probably point and go, well, how good could the Eagles be? They're starting a Dory Jackson, right? Like every defense.
That's very fair, dude. Great. Hey, Elliot, score one for you with that retort. Well, Elliot, let's talk defense with Nakobe. So Nakobe's been a limited participant in practice. Is he going to play?
It's a great question. They have an open roster spot. I do think with Nakobe, it is one of those things where you have to see how his injury reacts day after day. Like, he's practiced 2 days now. He seemed in good spirits yesterday in the locker room after his first day back at practice. And then today, you see how he feels. So I know from being around N'Kobe like the last month, this dude feels like he could have played week one. So I think if he doesn't play this Sunday, I think he will be very disappointed. I would guess that he is going to be in uniform. The question really is just like, what do they do with him? And in all my years covering the team, I can't remember such like a specifically tough problem for a coaching staff, because Jahad Campbell has been awesome. Zach Bond is obviously not coming off the field, but N'Kobe straight up lost his job because of an injury. And I know that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. I know you can't put him out there just because he used to be the starter. But man, for a leader in the locker room and for someone that's worked so hard to come back from such a tough injury, this is a real tough spot for Nick, who really values like the culture and relationship part of it.
Yeah.
And this could be a tough blow for N'Kobe.
So, Elliot, I'll give you a tougher problem for a coaching staff. A.J. Brown. His relationship with Jalen Hurts. Can you put some context? You know, I heard you say some stuff on the other shows this week. I don't think we got into this element with you on Tuesday. A.J. and Jalen, where's it at as far as what you know?
Yeah, you know, the AJ and Jalen thing in some ways is one of my least favorite things to talk about, just because we're talking about a friendship here. And, like, I'm not privy to the detail of the friendship. I don't know, like, how close they truly, truly are. But I do know if
we're around.
Well, so that's what I'm going to say. I do know if you're around that building and the team, like, it's not really a secret that Jalen and AJ are not as close as they used to be. And I would say, like, if you don't want to believe what people who cover the team say, just use your own eyes. I mean, when they first got here, AJ was wearing Hurts season hats. They were FaceTiming each other. They were, like, celebrating. Like, they don't really interact much from what I see. And then this week when he was talking about, his statement he made, right, he says he FaceTimes with Nick Sirianni. He calls Kevin Petullo KP. He didn't really have much to say about Jalen. And when Jalen was asked about AJ at his press conference, he didn't really have much to say about AJ. Now, does this mean that they can't win? Of course not. They won a Super Bowl last year, and it was the same, right? Like, this isn't a new thing that's come up in that building. But it's just tougher to win, I think, when two of your most important players don't seem to be on the same page.
Tell us about the Dallas Goedert limited in practice with a knee, and Lane Johnson also limited. Jalen Carter limited with his shoulder. So Lane and Jalen, we've seen Jalen Carter holding his wrist or his shoulder during games. We've watched Lane sit for the majority of the last couple games. How serious are these injuries?
Yeah, so the good news is Jalen Carter and Lane Johnson were full participants in practice yesterday. So they seem to be on path to playing. Talking to Jalen Carter at his locker yesterday, it sounds like this is just something he's going to have to deal with. Like, there will be moments in the game where this shoulder injury flares up. And you saw last week, like, he came out for a little bit. I think the hope is as the season goes on that won't happen as much. But as I'm sure you could probably speak to as a former player, like, it's really, really hard to recover from something in season. Like, the games don't stop. And by the way, they play Sunday and then they play Thursday this week. So, you know, it's a short turnaround. Now, as for Goddard, on Wednesday, I was pretty pessimistic he was going to play. But yesterday, he was out there. He was running around. He looked good running. Grant Calcaterra didn't practice because of an illness. So, you know, you wonder if they need Goddard a little bit more. But this Thursday night game they have after Sunday, I think, will play a factor in some of the decisions.
Absolutely. And Adoree Jackson, where does he stand for being able to play in this game? Are we... is the cornerback spot going to be dictated basically by just whoever is the healthiest third cornerback?
Yeah, so Adoree was a full participant in practice as well yesterday, so he seems to have fully recovered from the groin injury that was holding him back. But Keely Ringo played well in that game. I mean, look, tackling-wise, he still has work to do, but they did not throw the ball at him. And I don't, you know, maybe it's he was being great in coverage. They seemed to have an insane plan of going after Quinion, which did not work out well for them. But, if I were the Eagles, I would give Keely another shot. Like, it's better for this team if Keely locks down that job and becomes the long-term starter. Adoree's on a one-year deal. He's a veteran. If you can, you know, kind of get Keely to become that consistent number two, that's a really big deal for this team. So I would start Keely again.
Geez, if Keely is close enough to where it's a toss-up, you know, between the two of them, certainly you'd opt for the younger, cheaper guy who's willing to throw his body around on special teams.
Look,
Fangio talked about how this week he needs to learn to tackle differently on defense as opposed to special teams. It is a different type of tackling, and he really is trying to bridge that gap right now.
Don't sign me up for the
so
Keely Ringo train. I mean,
he's raw.
Yes.
And
he's
you
raw.
Don't want raw.
I don't want raw.
They need to trade for one.
Yeah, they really might. They got a couple more weeks before that trade deadline.
Hey, I'd also appreciate another edge guy, maybe.
Yeah. Elliot, final thing. At 8 o'clock today, we're giving away tickets to the Eagles-Broncos game. We've had a theme this week of players. I've given names, players that were difficult at times. And I'll just say A.J. was one of them. I mean, this is all in honor or dishonor of A.J. Give me your prediction prior to 2000. It's a player prior to 2000. Who's going to be the difficult player today?
Wait, so let me say two things first because I got wrapped up. Like, it is funny to hear people describe AJ as difficult, and I'm not saying that he can't act like a diva sometimes.
Sure.
But, like, being around him in that building, I think he is such a positive as opposed to, like, a negative in that.
Well, that's the irony of this. I know.
Yeah, he makes his teammates and coaches' lives harder.
He does.
Because they have to go through this stuff.
He did.
Absolutely. It's just, he's such an interesting guy in that way because you watch him interact with his teammates, you watch him in the locker room, and it's like, this dude gets along with everybody. Everyone comes up. Yesterday, like seven different players came up to his locker yesterday and were like talking with him, doing handshakes. Like, it's just pretty crazy how what I see versus how sometimes he's discussed now.
How often does the quarterback come up to him?
Yeah, I don't know if they have a handshake. I'll say that. Yeah,
just curious. It's kind of important if your quarterback and your star wide receiver get along.
I haven't seen them talk much. I will say that.
Yeah. All right, who's it going to be, a pre-2000 difficult player? Because, Rhea, we're giving away these tickets coming up at 8 o'clock.
Yes, courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
Give me your prediction, Elliot. Who is it?
I'm confused by what your question is.
Guys, it could rile up the coaching staff in the city of Philadelphia.
That played in the year
before 2000. Hey, you're too young. You're too young. It's okay.
Yeah,
you can bail out.
That's a tough question.
It's okay. All right, Elliot, other than the very end, fine work by you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
Good luck and beat the hammer.
Thanks, man. I'll take care of the chump and beat the hammer. Nick joins us right now. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Nick,
hey, coach.
Congratulations on the win. We could dwell extensively on the good stuff, but listen, everyone wants us to get down to the business, so let's do it. How concerned, Nick, are you about the AJ Brown situation?
Yeah, not concerned. You know, we all want to get better. We've set a pretty high standard here, and we all want to get better. We all want to enjoy the win when we get it, and we all want to get better from it, right? I think that I'd be more concerned if we were in this locker room and we're like, hey, we're 4-0, and being satisfied. I think you're seeing from the entire team, no, that doesn't mean we don't enjoy the win in the moment, but you're seeing from the entire team that we all want to get better. We all want to raise our standard. And that's the reality of September, October football, is you're working your way up to get better, right? There's not, like, I've seen a lot of teams, you know, peak too early, and our goal is to be playing our best football by the end of the year. That doesn't mean we got to be more consistent as coaches. We got to be more consistent as players, and we have a high level and a high standard for ourselves, and we just want to continue to reach that and work towards that.
So, Nick, I really admire your ability through the last few years to diffuse some situations. I really do. And I think part of it is how you answer questions, you know, in press conferences and interviews. But I will tell you, the not concerned thing, I mean, this is one of the great players in Philly sports. It seemed like he may be alluding to wanting to be out. I think that the heart of it is he's wondering how much longer can I take it, not getting the ball as much as other great receivers in football. Do you think I'm wrong that that's the heart of the matter? And I mean, I think this is a pretty big situation right now.
Yeah, and you're entitled to your opinion, obviously. And, you know, what I see it as a guy that wants to contribute to his football team because he knows he's able to contribute to his football team. And, you know, if we, you know, the things that we know, like, we know that the past 3 years that AJ's been here, we've won a lot of football games. And 1 year he had almost 1,500 yards. 1 year he had 1,400 yards. Last year, you know, missed a couple games and had 1,100 yards. So we know when we're playing our best, you know, he's contributing.
Yeah.
When we're clicking on all cylinders, he's contributing. And that doesn't mean you can't win games and when he's not contributing, but you know, I think that we all know that, you know, to reach the standard that we want to reach, all right, it has to be working on, you know, it has to be, you know, in the run game, in the pass game, on defense, on special teams. It needs to be hitting to hit the standard that we want to hit. Now, until it gets to that standard, until, you know, as you build up in the season, our job as players is to find ways to win, get better from, you know, what you went through in the game, work our butts off in the week to get better as well, and repeat until you're playing, you know, the type of football that is to your standards. But sure. We're not there yet, and it's early in the year. We're four games through, and you know, our whole focus as an entire team is, you know, how do we get better? How do we get better? How do we get better?
Sure. So the numbers say that AJ had more targets than yards for just the third time in his career in this last game. Mm-hmm. So how do you help him contribute to the team with more involvement moving forward?
Yeah. Again, you know, and it's no secret. The pass game runs through AJ. It runs through Devontae. It runs through Dallas. Saquon's got a big part of it. And then you got some good contributing factors. Grant Calcaterra's had some plays throughout the season. Jahan Dotson has. You know, Mechie's done a nice job, right? And so you got other pieces there as well. And so, you know, there's a lot of guys there that can and will get the ball. And so, you know, obviously everything that we do, it starts, like our week preparation never starts, or our, you know, when we're watching tape is like, okay, how do we get AJ the ball? How do we get Dallas the ball? How do we get Devontae the ball? That's, you know, I'm not letting any secrets out right there. Like, that's how every, you know, game plan meeting starts.
Sure.
And so that's on our mind. That's why, you know, through the course of the year, I'm always confident that those things play themselves out through the course of the year. We're in a small sample size right now. It hasn't, you know, where he hasn't got, you know, the amount of touches that he normally has, but we're in a very small sample size. And, you know, I know how we game plan. I know how, you know, we think through things. I know how important he is. And again, like, it's our job inside this building is to not ride the roller coaster of the outside and be completely focused. If you're focused on other things, if you're focused on too much other stuff, that you're taking a little bit of focus away from what the main goal is, mm-hmm. to get better, win, find ways to win and get better. So, you know, our job is to focus on our process, to focus on, you know, the right things in attempts to be playing our best football by the end of the year.
Nick, one thing, though, on, you know, the outside, does it disappoint you when AJ takes it to the outside? Social media is not the locker room. Social media is the work, and the world can hear my thoughts and know what I'm thinking. Does it disappoint you when he writes what he wrote?
No, I don't get disappointed with those types of things. You know, and again, like, it's all about the conversations that you have individually. Like when you don't have communication with somebody, then you're forced to think, man, what could this have meant, or what could that meant? That's why we're in constant communication. That's why together is one of our core values. And so you understand things that are going on when maybe people who aren't in constant communication may not.
Nick, does it help the offense become, more difficult to defend if Jalen takes more risks downfield? And I know that's part of what makes him great. I know part of why we're 20-1 in the last 21 games is he he doesn't turn the ball over. But he's a risk averse quarterback. But would it help the offense become less predictable if he would take more risks?
Yeah, just because he doesn't throw interceptions, I don't believe that he's risk averse. Because we talk in two different things. We talk about protecting the football because of the success we've had, and the formula that we've had to win. Let's call it what it is. Our job is to win football games, period, and find any way we can win to win football games. And we know our success that we've had when we protect the ball and we take the ball away. But we also, on the other end, know how hard it is to score points when you're not explosive. I think I've been saying this since the beginning of this year. We have to be more explosive. But that you can't risk the ball to be more, you don't want to risk the ball in attempts to do that. Like, there's ways to do that where you still protect the football and still make good decisions. And Jalen's just one piece of protecting the football. Like, how you carry the football as a ball carrier is a big piece of that as well. We've done a nice job so far, only turning it over one time and, forcing however many, 5 turnovers for us. We're plus 4 right there. And we've won every game, to date. And that's a big reason for it. Mm-hmm. Now, again, like I said, you still want to create explosives because it's hard to, if you're in the run game, if you're in the pass game, it's hard to dink dunk your way down the field because, this game, the other team forces mistakes, right? And, there's ups and downs in each game. So both are important. Both are very important. We've found, with our taking care of the football, though, that's always at the top of our mind, and also we want to be explosive.
Nick Sirianni,
I answered your question.
Yep. Nick Sirianni here on WIP. Nick, team's 4-0, by the way. I don't have to remind you, but I'll remind everyone listening. The nature of this conversation, people wouldn't necessarily think it. So let's talk about some really good things. Nick, on Sunday, the game basically starts with a block punt, if you will. After your defense gets a stop, it's a block punt. And shortly after that happened, Tom Rinaldi said on Fox that he overheard you on the sidelines say, I told you. And it seemed to be in reference to something related to how to block that punt. Had you noticed something during the week that you specifically saw that could give your squad an advantage and it worked out?
Yeah, don't want to get into anything like that, but Coach Clay and the special teams coaches do such a phenomenal job of, prepping our guys for the week and seeing different things whether it's a return, whether it's a block, whether it's, a trick play or whatever. They just do such a good job and have a good feel of when to, when to call things. And I think that just in that moment, he called a really, he called an opportunity for a block in that moment by Coach Clay, and our guys went out and executed. I actually don't even remember saying I told you so. But I just was so excited celebrating with Coach Clay, watching our guys celebrate together. I thought our guys played extremely, extremely tough. I think our guys played extremely, extremely hard with their effort. And I love the celebration that they had, there. And that's why football is awesome, guys, right? I mean, it takes everybody. I know majority of the questions that I answered today were about the offense, but man, this is a team game, and it takes offense, defense, special teams, and we got contributions from each phase, and that's why football is, to me, the best team sport there is.
I agree with you.
The best sport there is.
Coach, what were you saying to Baker Mayfield, and after the fact with the taunting increase in penalties, do you worry that you're undermining your authority, the example that you're setting for your players?
Baker and I actually really respect him. I got to know him a little bit when we practiced against them when he was at Cleveland and I was at Indy, and really enjoyed my conversations with him. It was just some fun back.
He
and
seems
forth.
Awesome.
I told him after the game, I said, "And besides our guy, you're one of my favorite guys to watch. I really admire his competitiveness. Wow. I really admire his." I just think he's a really, really good quarterback, and just to really admire his game. And I was just having some fun in there. It makes, you know, and I talked to him after the game as well and told him that after the game because I got a lot of respect for him, and he's won a lot of football games.
Huh. Just having fun.
That's Nick, congrats on, look, it was a great September. You guys went 4-0. I know there were some, you know, circumstances that were odd in the way you landed at 4-0, but you're 4-0. Congrats on a great September, and good luck for some Denver Broncos.
4-0 is nice, but we just want to continue to get better, and that's all our mindset is. And I know a lot of teams would trade places with us and be 4-0, but you know what? We're never satisfied. We want to keep getting better, and we'll look back at it at the end of the year and be happy with whatever. But, you know, our job is just to get better and find ways to win games.
You got it. Nick, good luck on Sunday. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, right. Coach.
Thank all right, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Jalen's a quarterback. I mean, that's not a stretch.
Yeah, it's
to say
not,
he's the issue.
Well, and you're right that he's been at the center of, or he's the common denominator, I guess you could say, in the two biggest, what do you call it, Hugh, friction moments with the franchise the last couple of years, right? Joe's right. It was him and Sirianni before last season and all that stuff. And then they settled that down. And now it's him and AJ. Hugh, it's interesting. Joe's right, but it's interesting because Jalen comes across as pretty quiet, I wouldn't look at Jalen Hurts and say, or listen to him and say, this is a guy that's in a lot of drama. He seems like he tries to live his life kind of drama free, yet he finds himself in this.
Yeah, he's the face of the franchise. He's what's the word I'm looking for when I think of clear cut, clean cut, no drama.
But yeah, he's part of the drama.
Yeah, but he's part of the drama that we assume is happening in the locker room.
Well, I mean,
now we know it's happening.
Right, AJ's telling us it's happening.
I mean, it's happening, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Like, why?
Why is
Jalen this? If there's two big things here, then the last couple of years, as Joe's saying, Jalen and Sirianni, Jalen and AJ, why is Jalen, who doesn't come across as dramatic, in the middle of the drama?
Maybe because he's different. That's the best way I can describe it. But here's the kicker, Joe, and you know what I'm saying. It's probably going to irritate you.
Here we go.
It's the truth.
Here we go.
Ready?
Nope.
He wins.
Yeah, but not by himself.
I mean, come on.
I know he doesn't win by himself, but he's the trigger puller. He's the guy that makes it happen.
They all win.
Listen.
The team is winning.
The Eagles win every game.
Can we appreciate
you and good phone call, Joe. Thank
AJ said the defense and special teams are low-key carrying them.
Can I just say this? Because I hear what you're
dead
saying.
Right.
And I know that when you say that, it's not directed at me. I'm gonna say I know that. But when I say that, that's the only thing that matters to them.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
And I've brought this example up in the past because I think there are similarities. I'm not saying they're clones, but there are similarities.
Mm-hmm.
I see similarities in this current rendition of the Eagles to what the Seahawks were a decade ago at Russell Wilson.
You've made that correlation before.
The biggest thing is it's a very good quarterback. I don't think quite elite, but very good, with a lot around him, and they win a lot. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think there's even some Pete Carroll, Sirianni similarities. Maybe not the best X's and O's guy, but they
do a good job.
They get the team ready to play. What kind of tore that team apart is from my memory was
Russell.
Well,
from the outside looking in, recklessly speculating.
It felt like, I mean, I don't know if you saw it last Thursday night when Richard Sherman ripped apart Russell's Hall of Fame candidacy on TV. It felt to me like the other guys in that locker room got annoyed that he got the credit when they felt like, dude, you're good, but like you're not winning without us.
Yeah.
And I wonder if some of that, and not Sirianni, forget him, forget that one. I wonder if that's bled into this. Jalen got paid. mm-hmm. more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Listen about what you said, and you're not wrong, but think about how you spoke about Jalen. Jalen wins.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that rubs the rest of them the wrong way. Like, dude, he wins. He wins because we're with him.
It does.
Okay.
It does. But here's the thing that, and you're never wrong. When, the way you frame it, Kyle, you're not wrong.
Well, I know.
The team, I hate that I gave you credit for that.
Yeah, he's going to cut that out
of four-leg parlay?
Yeah.
I did not.
Okay. What frequency are you vibing on, say? You bet on the Reds. What are you doing?
Well, I hate both of you right now.
I guess like...
Can I have my moment of trying to be a professional?
I forgot.
I'm trying to be professional right now.
Sorry.
I am trying to drop professional knowledge right now. But the bottom line is this. No matter how you slice that piece of pie, the quarterback gets all the credit. He gets all the accolades. It's been like that forever.
So is jealousy part of this issue?
Well, it seems like it's starting to rear its ugly head more so than it's ever done before.
I just have to vehemently disagree with the thing they're winning. That's all that matters. Clearly,
it is the only thing that matters.
No, they don't think that.
They do think that.
No, they don't.
Not
Did you
AJ.
Just hear AJ?
AJ.
He doesn't give a crap.
He
told you it's the Super Bowl.
Okay,
he doesn't give a crap.
He doesn't care, but it doesn't make him look good.
I understand that, but that does matter. Like, he is a part of this team. So, like, if everybody were on the same page, AJ, Jalen, the coaches, we're winning, nothing else matters. Clearly, that's not the case. Like, this is the situation that we're left dealing with right now.
Yeah.
Well, we're dealing with it because we're talk show
hosts. Well, no,
host.
But the coach didn't, Sirianni just went on this rant about enjoying the wins. This was an issue with the Eagles 2 years ago, too. Not enjoying the wins. Even when they were 10-1, like, these players are smart enough to know that it's not right. Yeah. Saquon said it. The offense looks like crap.
Mailata after week two said we can't do 2023 all over again. So that's in their head.
AJ said they're being carried. They know it's not right.
Let me help you out just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, what you're saying to a certain extent is not wrong. But majority of the players, they ain't tripping because they are benefiting tremendously from the accolades. Everybody knows when you talk about this team, Jalen Hurts' name is probably first. Or say, like, Jalen's first, Saquon's a close second. That's a fact. Nobody's tripping on that.
Well, it should be the defense.
No, but
come on, I
hear what you're saying.
Based on the last year,
nobody's tripping on that. This team is winning. They're 4-0, and that's the bottom line.
Hold
and that
AJ, AJ is tripping balls.
AJ's been tripping since Sunday. If we're keeping this, what do we keep it? A buck, a bean? What do we keep it on this show?
We keep it a bean.
100, whatever.
We keep it a bean.
All right. So AJ's tripping.
It's like our head's in the clouds here.
Well, I mean, Douglas lives in the clouds.
First of all,
I mean, we know this.
The thing with AJ and Jalen, that's way beyond football. I don't care what nobody says. It's way beyond football.
All right, let's hear from Jason Kelce. Jason Kelce, let's start. We want to start with the New Heights podcast and what Jason said on his podcast. Listen to this.
And Travis.
Well, Travis's line in here is my favorite line of the week. Jason and Travis speaking on the AJ situation.
A lot of people are making about this tweet that was cryptic in some ways. I mean, it's not really that cryptic if you really think about it.
It is what it is.
If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders. And be on your way.
You're 4-0, boss.
This is where you disagree a little bit a couple weeks ago. I don't think it's unfathomable that a player of AJ Brown's caliber, I think that he should be upset that he's not being utilized in this offense. I think that is a normal feeling. And you should feel comfortable explicitly saying that to the coaches and players within that locker room. I do. I don't think that that's a move, a selfish move. AJ knows the level of player he is and what he can do to offenses. And we as an offense know everybody should be upset that AJ's not getting the ball. But one of the things about this quote is, if you're not welcome, not listened to, quietly withdraw, don't make a scene, shrug your shoulders, and be on your way. Everyone should be really happy that AJ Brown is not doing that. Like, by him tweeting this, he's literally not doing the tweet, right? He's being vocal and he's telling everybody, I'm f-ing not happy with what's happening right now. And he shouldn't be. Are there better ways to do this than by tweeting it out? Potentially.
To each his own.
We shouldn't be just getting him the ball to make him happy. We should be getting him the ball because he's a f***ing baller. To me, the fact that we're 4-0 and we still haven't even had our best players involved in the offense.
You're looking up, baby.
Brother, look what happened with the Chiefs. The Chiefs have struggled on offense. All of a sudden, they got that figured out and they blew the f***ing brakes off of the Ravens, one of the best teams in the league over the past, decade. So to me, I'm optimistic as a mother right now, but we do got to get it fixed. There's no question about that.
My favorite line of the back and forth between the Kelce brothers is Travis's, you're 4-0, boss. Just like, dude, you're 4-0.
Yeah.
And we're spending a whole week complaining about the complaining, and then we got a hold court at the locker yesterday. And it's just...
And see, here's the thing, because I now, like, shout out to the folks that are listening and that are chiming in mm-hmm. with me personally. I understand that 4-0 hides a lot.
It's like deodorant.
I've never said it didn't, because one of the most famous lines that I never forget that Jaws says is that winning is the best deodorant. And when you're winning, it makes you sound crazy to complain about winning.
Yes.
You know, so that's why this is where it is. And that's why most people feel the way that they feel. But, hey, man, you're winning, because it could be worse. Now, when it becomes worse, that's when all of this stuff that they're trying to do a good job of putting perfume on and cover up, that's when it's going to be exposed. Now, if I had any gripe about what AJ did, if you feel as strongly as you do, your opportunity was yesterday. And what you did yesterday was toe the company line. Let's just call it what it is, because we're probably going to talk about, like, I saw the tweet.
Well, let's throw it in. I mean,
let's make sure
everyone knows what we're talking about, right? Yeah. So there was a tweet last night. Now, if you go look for this, it's not going to be there. It was deleted. But many people saw it. Kyle saw it as it went up before it went down. He sent it to us. So there was a tweet last night from AJ Brown's account, the same account that put out the stuff on Sunday that AJ obviously took responsibility and accountability for yesterday. So it's that account. And the tweet was sent to Seth Joyner yesterday. And this was what it said. I'm not sure if there's a part that got cut off because it's gone now, so I can't see it live. But this is what was Kyle saw yesterday and sent to me. AJ Brown's Twitter account, at Seth Joyner yesterday. Quote, "The audacity of you telling someone to do their job. My stats every year backs up that I'm doing mine. How about you do your job and call out the BS, but you won't because they're paying you, so you have to play along and be a good boy. These old heads can be," and that's where it cuts off. And again, it's gone, so I don't have the rest in front of me this second, but that's what I had yesterday. That's what was up. Hugh, your reaction to AJ Brown's tweet at Seth Joyner?
First, there's a lot for me to unpack there.
Yeah.
Seth Joyner was a tremendous player, and the way that I look at Seth is with tremendous amount of respect, because just like Harold and all those other guys that came before me, I understand wholeheartedly the path that they laid for me mm-hmm. to be in this game, and how they pioneered things that happened. The things that AJ's benefiting from now, Seth and the guys that came before him paved the way. And regardless if you like Seth or not, you have to respect him for the contributions that he's given to this game that only a handful of people have ever played. So when you take a shot at Seth, you take a shot at all of us, in my opinion, because we're sitting here at these desks every day reacting. We're not fabricating. We're not creating anything. We're reacting to everything that you do. So for you to have the audacity, and I hope you're listening, and like I said, I'm not hard to find. For you to have the audacity to sit there and call Seth a boy for pointing out his perspective about how you handled the situation because he works for somebody is ridiculous to me. Because guess what, AJ? You have the audacity to sit there and toe the company line when you had an opportunity yesterday to get everything that you had off your chest in front of the media and everybody. But just like a good old boy, you sat there and you didn't say anything. And that's a fact. So when you take a shot at Seth like that, you take a shot at all of us. Because just like you talking about he ain't going to call out the BS, hell, you should call out the BS. You're the one that tweeted it. I don't react to nothing. I don't make up anything. I react to everything that's being said that comes out of your mouth. So when you say stuff like that and you feel in some kind of way, like the kids say, stand on business. You had an opportunity yesterday to stand on business. And like a good little boy, you didn't. So now what? You're still upset, and you're taking shots at people. You got to respect your elders, man, because Seth ain't doing nothing but reacting to what you did.
Well, and from my perspective, Seth wants what's best for the Eagles. I think he was speaking towards—
And another thing, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, no, you go.
I'm here. And another thing, for all y'all cats that have a lot to say, y'all never hear when people defend you or talk about you know, having your back and, hey, AJ needs to get the ball more. Everybody on this station, even Seth, has talked about how you need to be involved in offense. You don't say nothing about that. Nobody never say anything about the positive stuff that we say about you and how you need to be involved in this offense. But as soon as somebody says something you don't like, you got a lot to say. That is what I call a prostitute move. That's what prostitutes do. And I'm saying it in a nice way because you know exactly what I'm trying to say. That's a prostitute move. Because you ain't never got nothing to say or back anybody when they got your back. But as soon as somebody say something you don't like, you go to Twitter and you try to call people out. That's not grown man stuff. That's not what a man does. And then to call somebody a boy? And you had the microphone yesterday and all I heard from you was like, hey, I'm cool with everybody. You weren't cool when you sent the tweet out. You sure weren't cool when you sent the tweet out.
The last line, by the way, was these old heads could be a trip boy, .. So I didn't have that last few letter words. I want to make sure I finished the tweet fully. But the body of it was the body of it. And the part, Hugh, obviously what you said is strong there. Like when I hear Seth talk, I think Seth wants the best for the Eagles. And if Seth thinks, hey, enough of the Twitter stuff. Like I just, sometimes when many people, including former players, are telling you enough is enough with this stuff, maybe listen instead of fire back. I mean, everyone's always got to fire back. Maybe listen. Maybe Seth Joyner is telling you for a reason. You know, I think he said it the other day when he was on with Joe and John in the morning. Seth was overly emotional as a player. He said that. He's admitted that. Right? I think it's part of what made Seth a great player, a borderline Hall of Fame player. A guy that was an impactful player, his emotion, Hugh. Seth was emotional. But Seth said the other day, at times as he looks back now, maybe he was a little over emotional and he didn't think through when he spoke and the stuff he did. I mean, Hugh, to me, if I'm AJ, Seth could be a role model for how I finish up my career. Emotion player, maybe sometimes too emotional. He's telling me, in retrospect, I don't know if I should have done that stuff. Maybe you shouldn't do that stuff. Maybe enough of this. And I was going to ask you, Hugh, I think I know the answer. Do you feel better about all the AJ stuff after you spoke yesterday?
No.
I don't either. You know why? Because I'm done believing we're done with this. I wish I was as naive as everyone out there. It's like, oh, it's over now, guys. Move on. It's over. They buried it. What are you guys talking about?
It's unfortunate, man.
Because we're going to do this again in 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because, like I said, I've always had AJ back. And when you say stuff like that, you're talking about all of us. Because let me tell you, I don't get joy in sitting here talking about you in a negative way, but I'm going to keep it a bean. I don't get joy in that because I did play the game. And that's not no disrespect to anybody that didn't play the game. But when you put me in a situation where I work for Odyssey, and if I'm asked a question, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell you exactly what I feel. So when you sit up there, I don't give a damn who calling me, telling me not to say this, that, and the third. I'm going to speak my mind. And when you do stuff like that, you leave me no choice but to say what I got to say, just like Seth, just like Ike, just like John, just like Bear, anybody else that has been in the space that you're in. When you do the stupid stuff that you do and send out those cryptic ass tweets, then we have to do our job because that's what we're paid to do. That's what we're paid to do. We're paid to speak on stuff that nobody else knows about but us. So when you get mad at him and you call him out and call him a boy, you talking about all of us. Because this is what we do for a living. Because we did play the game. And we transitioned into this. That's the problem. So get your stuff together.
That's a professional right there.
Yeah, I'm a professional. But it's like, it makes no sense to me, man. Like, the thing that I hate about this generation is this. You want to throw rocks and then hide hands. And when somebody call you out on it, instead of you being the man that you say you are, you don't do that. You want to go attack somebody. You want to attack Seth for you putting him in a situation because at the end of the day, we want to try to protect you as much as we can. But at the end of the day, when you say that stuff, you leave us no choice. You leave us no choice. And we have to speak on it. And we have to be honest about it because our credibility is on the line. So how about you do your job and stop saying this stupid stuff so we ain't got to comment on it? That at the end of the day, if you don't say a word, if you don't open your mouth and send out that cryptic ass tweet, we ain't got nothing to say. We're going to talk about the Phillies. We're going to talk about this playoff series coming up. And we're going to talk about the Denver Broncos. And then you know what else we're going to talk about, AJ? You getting the football and how you need to be involved in this offense. That's what we would talk about.
Yeah, the person who dictated the conversation this week is A.J. Brown. I mean, that's obvious. It's been obvious all week. It was obvious since Sunday. And he continues to, even when he tried to put it out yesterday. What said Hugh? But this A.J. Brown thing has been the biggest story in the city all week. He spoke yesterday, which I'm glad he did. We said yesterday during the show he should speak. He should address his tweet and not speak in the media on Sunday after the game. All right, he did that. And I think for a lot of people, it's like, all right, I want to feel better about this. But then after that, he sent out a tweet to Seth Joyner, responding to Seth talking about, hey, I've been here before and handling your emotions and talking about teammates and all that kind of stuff, which Seth obviously dealt with as a player and now as a broadcaster. So when that came up today, Hugh was very strong on it and really frustrated at A.J. Brown for doing that. So, all right, Hugh, you gave your two cents. Let's bring the guy on now who the tweet was directed at. Seth Joyner joins us right now on the Midday Show. Seth, how are you today?
Seth.
I'm good, man. I'm late to the party. You know, I kind of got a little notice last night, but I was out. I had some sushi, you know, went to have a cigar, and, you know, then I got in a little late. I slept a little late today and wake up to my phone is just going bananas and whatnot. It's a little crazy, man. It's amazing, you know, how sensitive, you know, this age of football player is, Hugh, and I find it somewhat comical that you could say something and, you know, they're so worried about the things that you say. And, you know, to me, there must be a level of truth to something I said to move him emotionally to make him respond in such a way.
I mean, yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. But I'm going to tell you, Seth, the thing that kind of ran me hot was the old heads and towing the company line thing. And you know, we've had times where we talk football, and it's different when you talk to guys, no disrespect to anybody else that played the game, because we see things differently, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of times that we see things that could potentially be a problem, but you can't say anything about it because it's not a problem at the time.
Right.
And for him, like, the thing that really ran me hot was we talk about him and the fact that he hasn't had the football. Because, as a matter of fact, I've seen some of your broadcasts where you've talked about that and they need to get him the football. But they always seem to gravitate towards the negative aspect of what you're saying. Never say anything about the positive, because we saw this coming. But,
well, you know.
You got it.
Go ahead.
No, you
go
got
ahead,
it.
Finish your thought.
No, it's just like, it's just unfortunate that that's the world that we live in. You know, we sit here and we try to uplift you, but as soon as somebody says something that you might not agree with, you want to attack them on a personal level. I just don't understand that.
Well, it falls in line with, you know, the new age that we live in as far as, you know, how coaches even deal with players, let alone the media. You know, it's one of those situations, like I played in an era where, you know, you weren't immune to a coach telling you about yourself privately or publicly, you know, because what people fail to realize when they see a coach say something about a player and then the media wants to jump all over it and said, oh, he threw the player under the bus, that coach has already told that player 10 times last week in practice what the circumstances were, what to expect, and what to do. The player got in the game and decided to, you know, do it a different way. And now the coach got to step to the podium and tell the whole world that I got to coach him better. No, the hell you don't. No, you don't. Where's the accountability for the player, okay? So now we live in this world where the coach takes all the blame for the players not playing up to par and getting the job done, and nobody wants to talk about the accountability for the player because the coach better not talk about the player in a public sense, because then guess what? Oh, the coach is throwing the player under the bus. The coach can't do that. Why not? Why not? If it's his job to coach the player and he's coached the player properly and the coach now is frustrated because the player is doing what he wants to do, you mean to tell me that the coach has to eat that? So now you fast forward, okay? So that tells me that players today don't like to be accountable. So now I say something in the media, okay, and if it's not positive, then the player gets upset about it. Why? Because in their eyes, they don't see themselves doing anything wrong, Hugh.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't. When you live that way, when you feel like somebody, when somebody tells you something and you can't receive it in the sense that it's been, that it's been, you know, given, then that tells me that's a person to me who can't, who oftentimes doesn't get better because they can't receive, you know, the
criticism
or negative criticism.
Yeah, they can't receive.
You got to take it for what it is. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that AJ Brown ain't a great player. But let me preface this. Okay. I want AJ Brown to know that nobody speaks for Seth Jordan. I come on WIP and WIP doesn't monitor what I say. I don't work for anybody else anymore. I own my own media company. So I say what the hell I want to say, how I want to say it, when I want to say it, okay? So ain't nobody paying me to say anything, okay? I speak my mind based upon my personal experiences, okay? I just want to be clear about that so that he understands and knows that ain't nobody writing my paycheck, okay? Nobody. I work for myself. I'm an independent contractor. Now, next thing. As an old head, I'll take that because I am an old head. But us old heads, Hugh, we've experienced some things that 20-something-year-olds in the National Football League haven't experienced, okay? And it wasn't a criticism. I think that A.J. Brown is one of the most dynamic wide receivers in the National Football League. But I said what I said because I don't care where you stand. What he's doing, cryptically or not cryptically, is not going to change the circumstances and the situation in his favor. You know, we saw in the second half, yeah, Jalen tried to push him the ball. He had two balls that should have been intercepted. Is it AJ's fault? No, it's not AJ's fault, okay? But you can't make it about who's at fault because Kevin Petullo's at fault because AJ Brown runs four routes on one quarter of the field every damn play. Every game, okay? And if I can see that, you mean to tell me the defensive coordinators and players don't see that? There's some plays that Jalen threw bad balls, okay? That's going to happen. But there's also some plays where AJ runs some lazy-ass routes, okay, and gives the DB an opportunity to make a play on the ball. So everybody's at fault. Can you accept the fault when the fault falls on you and make yourself a better player? That's what me saying what I'm saying is all about. And then lastly, the team is 4-0, but we're talking about A.J. Brown. I said the team is 4-0. I'm going full AI on this one. The team is 4-0, but we're talking about A.J. Brown not getting targets, okay? One more time. The team is 4-0, but we're talking about A.J. Brown not getting targets, okay? That should not be the case. We should be talking about the team. And AJ should know that sooner or later it's all going to balance out and he's going to get his numbers and it's all going to be good. But at the end of the day, you play a team sport, T-E-A-M. And the only thing that matters is that the team wins. Because when it's all said and done and it all shakes out, he'll have 1,000 yards and his 7 to 8 touchdowns for the year, whatever it is. But we're trying to get back to another Super Bowl. And the team is 4-0. But we talking about A.J. Brown not getting the ball.
Seth, when I heard you earlier in the week with the morning show and then your post on Twitter, I took it as when you played, when you were in, you know, the same age, around the same age as A.J., you were outspoken. You had things to say. You were a fiery player. I took it as you were trying to almost say, like, hey, I've been in, not quite in the same shoes. He was a receiver, you're a defensive player. But you've kind of been there. I know what you're going through. This is not good for the team. Is that what you were trying to express? Like, I've been in Joe, your spot.
Joe, 100%, man. Listen, I when Buddy Ryan got fired and Rich Kotite came on board, I had zero respect for him. Zero respect for him because he'd already been here a year and I could kind of see through the facade. Not that at 20-something years old I really understood it, but it was more anger because, you know, Buddy had been fired, okay? And I saw what we were potentially capable of, okay? We just needed the offense to come along, to follow along, to get the job done. You understand what I'm saying? And as the season progressed and I saw that fading away and the team falling apart, my frustration, you know, just went, it overboiled. And I said some things about the coaching staff, about, you know, my players, my teammates and whatnot that I have since apologized for, okay? It didn't make any sense because it didn't help the team get better. If the offensive line couldn't block, you think Seth Joyner telling them, you know, to do their damn job that they were going to block any better? You think they didn't want to block better? They just couldn't. And it took years for me to understand that and years for me to go to those guys and say, you know what? I was wrong. I apologize. I don't want AJ to have to do that. He don't need, you know, and what I realized is it didn't help the team. That kind of stuff divides the team, you know? So now other players have got to answer for what he's doing. The same way with me. Like, I was a walking quote. Like, they wouldn't even let me get out of my shoulder pads and my helmet in the locker room before I was firing off. You know what I'm saying? So they knew where to come to get the information that they wanted to get. And I'm not saying that that's the situation with AJ, but what I'm saying is I've been in the position that he's in, and it doesn't serve the betterment of the team for him to continue to do this. I understand his frustration. He's a great player, and he wants the football. I get that. But the cryptic tweets, you know, the things, the little innuendos that are said, especially in Philadelphia, because, you know, when you go cryptic like that, what's the media going to do? The media is going to take what you said because you didn't say what you mean, and they're going to add meaning to it for you. They're going to create the story for you instead of you saying what you really want to say. And like I said, it doesn't serve the betterment of the team in one and not one bit, man. It just doesn't. Because guess what? Kevin Petullo got to call better plays. Jalen Hurts got to throw better balls from time to time. And A.J. Brown got to run better routes sometimes, okay, in order for this problem to be fixed. The offensive line's got to play better, you know. All of this is a cumulative thing. And it doesn't serve anybody's purpose for AJ to continue to cryptically say what he say, because in Philadelphia, if you don't say what you mean, they will say what you mean for you. You know, I mean, all week long, we're 2 days, two, three days away from the next game. And we're still talking about this, man. We should be talking about the Denver Broncos and what kind of problems they're going to create for this
and how
this
good offense. That defense is.
Like, how good mm-hmm. that defense is, exactly.
We ain't talking about none of that.
And, Hugh, we need to be talking about, you know, the fact that they're averaging 143 yards on the ground rushing.
And Bo Nix balling, too.
And the Eagles are giving up, you know, 120-something yards per game. So guess what? They're going to come here in here toting the ball, trying to figure out if they can assert the run. And then, because the only way they can be successful offensively is they got to run the ball so Bo Nix can run all that play action stuff that Sean Payton liked to run. We should be talking about this chess matchup that you're going to have between Sean Payton, the play caller, and Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator. Ain't that what we should be talking about?
Yeah, but we ain't touched on none of that.
Nope, not this week.
Listen, that's all I'm trying to say. I ain't trying to demean A.J. Brown in any way, shape, fashion, or form. I got nothing but respect for the way that he plays the game. But you know what, you know, young fella, sometimes you young bucks need to take some advice from the old heads, from the unks, because we've been where you are, and we know what we're talking about. We ain't got all the answers, but there's some wisdom in the years that we've lived that you've yet to live. Okay. And when I'm talking to young people, Hugh, it's all about, hey, man, how can I help you not make the mistakes that I made? Because in some instances, I had some people that was trying to tell me and trying to talk to me. But in a lot more instances than not, I didn't have that wisdom there that told me, you know, it says you need to shut the hell up, because there ain't nothing that you're saying that's going to change any damn thing. Just focus on what your job, focus on the defensive side of the ball, put your focus somewhere else, and just, you know, sometimes you just need to hear that. Mm. And I'm not so sure there's anybody in the locker room or in that organization that's willing to go to AJ and tell him that.
I'm not sure either, Seth. Seth, well said. We appreciate you making a few minutes to call in and tell us how you feel today. Thank you. And Seth, I'm sure we'll see you soon around here. And enjoy the rest of your weekend and enjoy the game on Sunday.
Have a good one, man.
Oh, you know I'm enjoying myself and the game. Peace.
There he goes. Seth Joyner giving us his reaction to all the reaction. We appreciate Seth making a few minutes for us there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like you mentioned, we're 4-0. The biggest story, the Eagles somehow find a way to do this, but the biggest story is A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts for the second straight year, right? We had a lot of this last year. And I just keep trying to figure out, we all love A.J. Brown, right? We want A.J. Brown to be a big part of the future for the Philadelphia Eagles, big part of the present Philadelphia Eagles, one of the best receivers who has ever played for the Philadelphia Eagles, right? We all want A.J. Brown to be here for a very long time. We all love Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has already won a Super Bowl, been to two, wins and wins and wins and wins. We just keep looking at this future, Jalen Hurts, Jalen Hurts, Jalen Hurts. I just keep trying to figure out, knowing what I know of the last couple of years with A.J., how this ends well, and I can't figure out in my mind a way that this ends well with AJ in the Eagles. For me, it feels like we are closer to the end of AJ as an Eagle than anything else, because I understand when we say winning should cure everything, right? You're 4-0, blah, blah, blah. But that is just not reality. It hasn't. Winning didn't cure everything for AJ last year, right? And I don't think any of us feel like that is an unfair way to feel. Here is a guy who cares about his legacy, cares about being in the Hall of Fame, cares about his next contract, by the way, and has pride and wants to be a part of the offense. Mm-hmm. We also are having trouble resolving the fact that while they're winning, he is obviously unhappy. You know, he can come out and say whatever he wants about the tweet, but I think we all know when you leave the locker room after a win without talking to the press, and 2 hours later you're tweeting Bible verses about walking away quietly, that we can all sort of figure out where it is. And I'm just thinking about Jalen, and I'm thinking about Kevin Petullo, and I'm thinking about Nick Sirianni, trying to figure out this offense. And here is this extra thing they have to think about. Every time they design a game plan, every time Jalen drops back, every time he calls a play, here's this extra thing he has to think about. Mm-hmm. Is AJ getting the ball enough? Blah, blah, blah. Never mind the fact that our star running back isn't even having a very good season. They're one of the worst rushing teams in the NFL so far this year, too. And I just can't see a way that AJ, within the structure of what this offense is, even at its best, is going to be happy. It feels like it is, to me, past the point of no return. And then we talked yesterday about what happened with the Bills when they let go of Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. And Josh Allen saying, all of a sudden, I felt free, right? I felt like I could throw the ball wherever it needs to go. And this isn't me saying that I think the Eagles are better with A.J. Brown. That would be a crazy thing to say. Better without A.J. Brown. That would be a crazy thing to say. But when I'm thinking about the football team holistically, how the team is bigger than one person and all of these things, I just can't see, I just can't wrap my head around this year or next year being enough for him. And if we're already in week 4, mm-hmm. off of winning a Super Bowl and they're 4-0, mm-hmm. and for two straight weeks, or two out of the last 3 weeks, it's been, is AJ happy, is AJ happy, is AJ happy? I don't know. It stinks of something that is just that the clock is ticking, and I hear the clock ticking down. And whether it's, you know, it would be crazy to trade him during the year, but I
they're not trading him during the season. That's not happening.
It just feels like I can't. I can't think of a way that this ends in a way where A.J. Brown is just happy and playing football and everybody's good again. It just feels like we're past that point to me.
Well, I mean, hopefully you're wrong, but I can't necessarily say that you are wrong. And it certainly is trending in a direction where it would lead itself to believe that that's what the ultimate ending is going to be. And I think that's what every Eagle fan is fearing.
Yes.
Like, that's what we're all fearing, that this is what we're going to ultimately have to do, because I don't know how much better the passing game is going to be.
Right.
To keep everybody happy.
Right.
It's never going to be the Bengals offense that they had last year with Burrow throwing the ball as much as he does and, you know, Jamar Chase being a Triple Crown winner. Like, it's never going to happen, at least not in the foreseeable future. I just don't see it happening that way, because Jalen doesn't play football that way. He doesn't play the quarterback position that way. This offense isn't designed that way. So AJ, at some point, is going to have to decide what makes him happiest. Right? Like, I think we got a general idea. He's left breadcrumbs as to what truly makes him tick. You know, we've tried to sweep things under the rug or put a lipstick on it or put a bow on it and sort of paint it up and dress it up as best we can. But the comments a couple days after the Super Bowl, the tweet after the Super Bowl, that him not being he didn't have the feeling that he thought he would have being a champion, and what makes him happy. And I'm paraphrasing a lot of it because I don't have it in front of me, but he said something to the effect of, you know, dominating his opponent is what truly gets him going, and dominating the game and seeing a DB's head hang after he's crushed him or whatever. He mentioned at another point in the offseason, when asked about the offense and Kevin Petullo being here and what would be different, he basically said, well, we can't do what we did last year.
Yep.
We got to do something different this year.
And here we are having the second most rush attempts in the NFL. Right?
So it's clear that his role in the offense, he's not satisfied with. This is not deciding whether or not he's right, he's wrong, or anything else. He's free to feel the way he wants to feel as an individual. Right, he's a part of a team, but he's an individual. And if he thinks that he's better served or he could be better used somewhere else, then that's what he's ultimately going to decide. That's what he's ultimately going to decide, either with his words or with his actions. Here's what I will say about the team and his impact on all of that. What we care about is the team.
Yes.
We don't care necessarily about individuals above the team.
Us
as fans, right. Yes, that's all we care about. Yes. We don't care about all the other stuff. We pay good. I'm speaking in general terms here, but we pay good money to go see the team. They spend a lot of money on merchandise, like all of those things.
Time every Sunday for all of fall and winter.
Yes. Everything is devoted to this team.
Yep.
And the only joy we get out of it is watching them win.
Yes.
We don't care for the drama.
Right.
We don't care for the other stuff as fans. So no one's ever going to put an individual above the team's success. The team is winning. This is becoming a distraction for the team.
Yes. I don't know how it couldn't be.
The coach is having to answer questions about it. I'm sure Jalen will have to answer questions about it. Whenever AJ decides to speak, people are going to want clarification as to what he meant by the tweet that he put out there, as everybody's been speculating nationally for two straight days now as to what he means and whether or not he's happy. Only he can express whether or not he's happy here. Like, only he can express that, but until he says that, everybody's going to speculate. I know the team is a better football team with AJ Brown on it. But I also know this, there is no player that's greater than the sum of all the parts of a team. None. Not one. I don't care if you're a quarterback. I don't care if you're the receiver. I don't care if you're the tackle, running back, linebacker, defense end, even head coach. You're not above the sum of all the parts together that make the team. Either you got to be a part of it or not. And that's what ultimately is going to have to be decided with AJ. But we're all sitting around here like, oh, man, why can't we just be happy with our 4-0 team?
Right. I don't want to be talking about this.
Let us nitpick about passing game, yes, and running game and all that stuff that we do. But as far as the players being together as one, That's what all the fans want. And this, with a player so significant like AJ, it has everybody on the edge. Has everybody on edge because you wonder whether or not this can sink a team or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were able to get through it last year, and they won the Super Bowl. But if you look at this in realistic terms, this is going back seemingly since 2023.
Right, when he didn't talk to the press for several weeks,
right? Well, I'll never forget
the
Minnesota game. I think it was a Monday night or a Thursday night.
Yep.
That game, when it looked like AJ was, it looked like he was going at Jalen on the sideline. And to me, things just haven't been the same ever since that. Now, maybe something happened prior to that. I don't know. But from our viewpoint, that was the first time publicly we saw anything.
Well, and to your point
and
about...
It hasn't been right since.
To your point about us sort of glossing over everything, Donovan McNabb mentioned this yesterday. By the way, 215-592-9494. Do you see a positive end to the AJ situation? Because I'm getting to the point where I don't. Donovan mentioned this yesterday. He said, when we were talking to him, he said, reading the book on the sidelines, You all had a fun time with that. Ha, 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 ha. We laughed. He said, I've never seen anything like that.
No one has.
No, and if they hadn't won that game, right? And the number of times that we just sort of, and it's funny because I think we all understand how A.J. Brown feels. Mm-hmm. I think we all agree he should get the ball more.
Without question.
But then we also all agree that the tweets after the game, even if it's how he feels, is not the best thing for the team to win.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately the team, you said AJ is going to have to decide, and he does. But ultimately the team's going to have to decide. They're going to have to decide, is the juice worth the squeeze at this point? He's a great player. I know he's a great player, and I want him on the Eagles. But it just gets to a point. And I think, you can look throughout the history of the NFL. There's not a ton of teams that are successful, that have as many weapons as the Eagles have for several years. It can happen here and there, but ultimately there's a big dog and then there's everybody else. So there's two big dogs. It might be a situation on the Eagles where there might be too many mouths to feed, especially with the way they play offense. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Joe Burrow. It's fair to mention that team also was 9-8 and didn't make the playoffs and was playing from behind all the time.
Yeah.
And it's probably why both wide receivers were able to get as many receptions as they were happy with.
Yeah.
And I can think too about, we all know A.J. Brown's good, but A.J. Brown is thinking about his next contract too on some level. And I can tell you, we can all talk about how good he is, and the Eagles can talk about
honestly,
how good he is.
Not to cut you off. Yeah. Honestly, I think he's thinking about his legacy
yes,
as a player.
All of those things.
Because
he's
rich already.
Right.
And I'm not counting anybody's pockets, but once you have achieved that financial status, now you want to be where the greats are.
And when the lists come out, you want to be at the top of the list and all those things. And I can tell you what, he's not making the Hall of Fame getting 62 catches for 823 yards. I don't care how many Super Bowls they win. Because the person, the player on the team who will get that credit will be Jalen. The quarterback gets that credit, no matter how many times he throws or doesn't throw, but the wide receivers won't.
Right.
And we get it. I think we all get it, why AJ feels the way he feels, but we also are all at the point where, and I would have to imagine as an organization, they're going to have to do that calculus and say to themselves, can we do this every week? Can we do this every week where we win and the big story is that one of the players isn't happy enough? You know,
well, the thing is, to them, they're trying to get him the ball.
Yeah.
They're trying to. He got 9 targets.
Right. Yeah.
Sunday. Like, I'm not saying they were great targets. I'm not saying they were great throws. I'm just saying they schematically tried to get him the football.
Sure.
That's different than what I saw in the Rams game where he didn't get a damn target. And then what was the game before that? One of the games he didn't get a target to the fourth quarter or something.
The first game.
Was that the first
Cowboys
game of the season?
Game.
Okay,
yeah.
Like, it's different than that scenario. To me, it really boils down to AJ, in my opinion. Meaning that I believe the Eagles obviously want AJ here. They want him to be happy.
Yes.
But if he's not happy, that's a him thing. It's not a them thing.
Well, it's a him thing that becomes a them thing.
Of course it does. Yes.
You know what I mean?
If he makes it that by constantly being unhappy, tweeting, things of that nature, then of course they're going to have to deal with it because I said it yesterday. I don't think it's fair to Jalen either that people are speculating that it's him.
Right. Well, and he has to go.
That has the issue with him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are speculating what the issue is.
Right.
And now put your quarterback in a position where he hasn't said anything. He hasn't done anything. He's out there trying to win football games.
Well, then he's got to walk on eggshells around the...
Unfair to him.
Yes. It's unfair. I think it's unfair to everybody.
It's unfair to the coaches. Yeah. I heard Nick this morning. I thought he handled the questions as best he could. I thought Joe did a great job asking the questions, following up. But look at the position they're in.
Yeah.
Talking about this.
4-0.
Yeah.
4-0.
I want to give you some numbers, and because we have a 4-0 Eagles team. 4-0.
That's a good number right there.
Yeah, and remember last year they started 2-2, and they won the Super Bowl, and they were 2-2, and they were 4-0 this year against a very difficult schedule. And that is important, the fact that they're 4-0. There's only two 4-0 teams in the NFL. There are two of the Super Bowl favorites at the beginning of the year, Buffalo and the Eagles, and that is important. However, I was looking at some numbers last night, and when I am thinking big picture about winning the Super Bowl, when I look at these numbers say more to me about the potential for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl than 4-0 does. Mm-hmm. Let me give you some of these numbers. The Eagles are 32nd in the NFL in passing offense. The Eagles are 24th in the NFL in passing touchdowns. The Eagles' offense is 30th in the NFL in yards per game.
Jesus.
The Eagles' offense is 28th in the NFL in yards per drive.
Damn.
The Eagles are 32nd in the NFL in three and out rates. Mm. That means they have more three and outs per drive than any team in the NFL.
Mm.
Jalen Hurts, after starting strong, avoiding sacks, is now 23rd in the league in sack rate. He gets sacked on 7% of his dropbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go to the rushing offense, because that is what saved us last year. The Eagles are 16th in the NFL in rushing offense. 16th. Saquon Barkley is second in rushing attempts, but he is 20th in rushing yards, and he is averaging 3.1 yards per rush.
Mm.
So when I am thinking about winning the Super Bowl, and look, they've been great in the red zone, I agree, and they have not turned the ball over. Those are two positive things.
Yeah, but
when I see all of these things tell me more about their chance to win the Super Bowl right now than 4-0 does. Your thoughts?
You say they tell you more about their chance, which means they don't have a great chance.
Well, it means the way that I'm looking at it right now,
yeah.
I am thinking more about those numbers than I'm thinking about 4-0 when I think about them trying to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I got you. And I understand that. And I think all those are valid. I really do. I look at those numbers. There's no way you can look at those numbers and say that's acceptable.
They're terrifying.
Yes. And if not for the record being 4-0, it would be an outrage in the city right now.
If I told you those were the numbers.
If they were 2-2 right now, yeah. This city would be going crazy.
If I told you those were the numbers after four games, there is no possible way you would have thought the Eagles would be 4-0.
I agree.
Right? You know what I mean? You would say, at least we're rushing the ball well, right? And I would say, no, we're not even doing that well.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. Here's what I'll say. In the moment, you are correct. But I'm still under the belief that this team, as long as they remain healthy, I believe they can get this thing figured out and get on the right track. I do. I just do. It's tough to go through. I'm going through it as well. Back and forth, you're pulling your hair. I don't even have hair. But you're pulling your hair out, right? You're saying, oh, dude, why can't we move the ball with regularity? Why can't we do this in the first half? Why can't we do this in the second half, right?
Depending on which game it is,
it's been one half or the other. So I totally understand that frustration. But if it wasn't for what we saw a year ago and – quite frankly, you could make the argument. It's not put it this way. You can make the argument they're in the same place. Record wise, they aren't. But if I were to say from a forming an identity, realizing what you want to be as a football team, where we are from the unrest. An easy part of being comfortable with this team, We're virtually in the same place we were last year.
In terms of how we feel about
how we feel, and if you just go by the numbers other than the results, the win and loss column, I don't know what the numbers were ranking-wise last year at this time. I can't imagine they were much better.
No, I mean, we had the bad Tampa game offensively.
Saquon
hadn't
taken off yet. He hadn't exploded yet. So I can't imagine the running numbers weren't great. They may have been a little better than they were than they are right now. But he hadn't become Saquon yet. And the offense certainly wasn't developed and formed and shaped around him and the offensive line. So I say that to say this. Although we don't have the bye week to rely on, as we did last year after 5 weeks, I still believe there is time. And this week is going to be the week for me, Spike. This week, meaning Denver Sunday, New York Thursday. Then there's a 10-day break there. That's where I think we get our sort of wake-up call, and we come back off of that.
After the Giants game.
After that Giants game. And listen, it may show glimpses of it going into that, but that 10-day respite where you can sort of regroup, recalibrate what you wanted to do coming into the season versus where you are right now. You don't get a bye week until after week nine. So you might as well take advantage of that mini bye week to sort of reassess some things, and you can hit the reset button. That's all I can rely on right now, is that I have time on my side. That's the biggest thing I got going for me. I got health right now, knock on wood, although the offensive line isn't great. But for my skill position, guys, everybody's healthy. Saquon, A.J., Devontae, Dallas Goedert is back. Jalen is fine at the quarterback position. So as long as those guys are healthy, I feel like they'll figure it out. They'll get it figured out.
215-592-9494. In terms of winning the Super Bowl, what means more to you? The fact that they're 4-0 or the fact that the offense in just about every category is looking really bad? Here is why I am more pessimistic than you are in terms of figuring it out.
Yeah.
I look at it and I say, well, who's going to figure it out, right? Last year, we had Kellen Moore. And you might think this, that, or the other about what Kellen Moore is as an offensive coordinator, but he certainly had a better resume at this point than Kevin Petullo does. Yeah. And I don't look in the city, and I'm not trashing Kevin Petullo, but I don't look in the city and see anyone that thinks, boy, I have a ton of confidence that Kevin Petullo is going to get this thing into shape. And then I start thinking about how it happens. So last year, we had a dominant offensive line. And this year, they have not been dominant. And the thing that worries me is when I keep hearing from Jordan, it's execution. We're one block away. It's execution. Well, execution is just how well you play. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how, maybe this is just a year where the offensive line is good. Maybe they're pretty good. And then the Saquon part of it is, and I cannot ignore the fact that he is coming off of a year where he touched the ball almost 500 times. And almost every running back the year after that happens just does not look the same as they looked the year before. Now, we can say to our eyes, Saquon looks okay, but if he's a split second slower than he was, we're not going to see that just with our eyes. What I can see is he doesn't have one run longer than 16 yards in 4 games. And then when I think about the passing offense, and just to throw another thing on top of this, we're 4 games in and we already have 2 AJ moments. And the one isn't even over yet, isn't even resolved yet. So and this has never been, I mean, since we're talking years since we have seen a consistent, effective passing offense from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Not since 2022.
Yeah. So I'm looking at a consistent passing offense that, by the way, doesn't turn the ball over all the time.
Right.
Because you could look at 23 and look at the total numbers and they're fine, but he threw 16 interceptions and fumbled, I think, 7 times mm-hmm. that year. So I'm looking at it and I'm trying to think to myself, well, where? How does this get figured out? Does it maybe get a little bit better? I'm sure, but I don't, like, they were a top 10 offense last year. I don't see a top 10 offense figuring it out here. And if I'm talking about winning a Super Bowl, the defense can be as good as we hope the defense can be, but I'm just getting worried that they have all this cohesiveness. We have the same personnel, aside from one player. We have the same head coach. We have an offensive coordinator who was the pass game coordinator last mm-hmm. year, and we're 4 games in, and they still don't know who they are. And they're not doing anything effectively, really. I mean, we have have a half here and a half there. But for every half we have that is great, we have a half that is putrid. Right?
Yeah,
I mean, putrid. The first half of the Rams game was
football in halves.
In halves. The first half of the Rams game was putrid. The second half of the Tampa game was putrid. So I'm trying to figure it out. I'm looking at the numbers, and I see no cause for optimism.
Second
there.
Half of the Cowboy game, we scored 3 points.
Right, right. After a good first half.
Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494. What is more important to you in terms of winning the Super Bowl? The fact that the Eagles are 4-0 or the fact that they are last in passing offense? They are 30th in yards per game. The fact that they are last in the NFL in three and out rate. The fact that Jalen is once again getting sacked a lot, you know, which I had hoped this was something that they would figure out. And then one final thing I'll throw on top of it is I worry that second half of the Bucs game gave everybody the blueprint. So don't blitz them. Just sit in zone and let them try to figure it out.
Right.
Because the offensive line is not dominant enough to run on you and make you punish for it. And the pass offense looks flummoxed when that happens.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.